Our text, which we've already read, and that was our launching point there in Philippians 2, and the particular verse, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. So our text gives out a clear warning to Christians about the sin of murmuring. Murmuring in the Greek is a Greek gongousmos, and I'll get it out in a minute, and it simply means to grumble. Isn't that interesting? And disputings in verse 14 speaks of arguing, which is where grumbling and complaining will often lead. The word murmuring in the scripture, that's a Bible word for complaining. You'll find it both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Complaining is usually the result of discontentment. And so Paul had a solution for that in chapter 4, verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And we need to be content with whatever God blesses us with. And He's blessed us with a lot, hasn't He? And He's been good to us. And so we need to be content. Now, all my points are going to begin with a C tonight. As we look at this matter of complaining. So the first thing is complaining, and we're just going to define some things about complaining. First of all, complaining is communication with the devil. Whoa. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's read verses 9 and 10. Paul told the church of Corinth, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the serpents in the wilderness. We're going to look at that eventually. But that's what he's talking about, that Old Testament story of God sending the serpents in the wilderness. Why? Because they were complaining or they were murmuring. So he says in verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So in this passage, as I said, Paul refers to Israel in the wilderness. In Numbers chapter 21, that's a chapter where God sent the fiery serpents among his people as a judgment for their complaining or their murmuring. And, of course, we talked about that recently, about the serpent on the pole and the serpent of brass, and reminding us, as Jesus said in John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, speaking of dying on the cross. And so the point of this is, when you complain, God is not pleased. He wasn't pleased with Israel. We'll talk about that a bit more in the next point. But he wasn't pleased with that. So if God is not pleased with murmuring, guess who is? The devil. And that's why I say, complaining is talking with the devil. By the way, in verse 10 that I just read, it says, and we're destroyed of the destroyer. He's the destroyer. And the devil doesn't want you to be a joyful Christian. He doesn't want you to be a praising Christian. He wants you to murmur and complain. By the way, the devil doesn't know your thoughts. Only God knows your thoughts. Amen? But you know what? The devil does listen to what you say. And from what you say, he'll see you have plenty to complain about. And so the devil will use that complaining to destroy your testimony and to bring damage to the work of God. So this is very important. What do we need to do instead of complain? We need to pray. We need to pray. Now, prayer is communication with God. Complaining is communication with the devil. That's a thought, isn't it? So let's pray, and praying will lead you to praising. And vice versa. I think praising will lead you to praying. But I think as you pray, you'll discover more and more what you have to praise God for and what you have to be thankful for. Number two, complaining is contagious. Complaining is contagious. First of all, it's communion with the devil. Secondly, it's contagious. Look at Numbers chapter 14 in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, book of Numbers, keep going right here. And chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14. And I want you to notice verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, that was the spies he sent in, who returned and made all the congregation to what? To murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. And you know the story. It unfolds, and we won't take time to read that. But Moses sent 12 spies into the land, and the Bible tells us that only two brought back a good report. You know who they were? Joshua and Caleb. And they alone brought back a good report. The other 10 complained, and they murmured. They saw all the bad things. They saw how great some of the cities were, how many people were there. In some cases, they saw giants. And they came back and said, boy, there's no way we can beat those people. And what those 10 spies forgot, they forgot whose side God was on. And so they complained. And it was contagious. That's the second point. And it spread to all the congregation. And the congregation began to murmur. The end result of that was God said, okay, I'm not happy with you who have murmured against me. And so he said, you're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Everyone, every person or man that was above 20 years of age would die in the wilderness because of this sin of murmuring. And so from this story in Numbers 14, we know God doesn't like complaining. And I think we need to bring our troubles to the Lord, but not in a complaining tone of voice, but in a tone of voice, God, I have this problem. I need your help. And I know you can help me. That's a lot better, isn't it, than just to complain. And so God brought judgment upon them because of that complaining. Another example of this would be, it comes from Mark chapter 14, John chapter 12. You remember when Mary anointed the Lord Jesus with a very costly ointment. This was Mary of Bethany, sister of Martha and Lazarus. And in John chapter 12, verse 5, Judas said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" What's he doing? He's complaining. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 5, we learn that as a result of Judas' complaint, the disciples also murmured against her, against Mary. Judas began the murmuring, the disciples continued it. It was contagious. Whenever you complain, it's going to be contagious. It's going to spread to other people. So on Mary's part, this was a beautiful act of sacrifice and of worship. But they complained about it. And boy, they marred that beautiful act of worship. Someone has said that complaining is like drowning in a mud puddle. And it's one thing to have your faith shaken when going through some deep waters of pain or trial like Job did. But when we get our feelings hurt and we complain over small matters, it's like drowning in a mud puddle. I think of King Uzziah in the Old Testament. The Bible tells us that he served the Lord honorably for 50 years. But resenting the fact that as a king he could not perform the task that the high priest did, he intruded into the sanctuary and God inflicted him with leprosy. Why? Because he complained. And his complaint was against God. And that's a terrible thing when you complain about what God does. And so after 50 years of excellent rule, he drowned in a mud puddle. He ruined it. There's a poem I read that goes like this. "Those Christians who, with thankful hearts, praise God throughout the day, won't tend to grumble and complain when things don't go their way." And that's a good thing to remember, isn't it? And so avoid complaining. It's contagious. You begin to complain and you pull other people down. And it just gets worse and worse. Third thing about complaining, complaining will corrode your testimony. Now let's go back to where we started in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And let's read this time verse 15. "That ye may be blameless and harmless." This follows up the verse, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as" what? "Lights in the world." What he's saying, what Paul's saying to the church at Philippi, it's a warning. If you start murmuring, and if you start complaining about things, you won't be able to shine as a light to the world. The world will look at you, and let's say our church is involved. And, of course, the world jumps on any opportunity to down Christians, to criticize Christians. And they'll say, "Boy, look at that church at Riggles Gap. All they do is complain." And that's not shining as lights in the world, is it? No. And so complaining will, as I said, the third point, third C, of corrode your testimony. Jesus himself said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." complain will corrode your lamp. You ever see a lamp that was corroded? And keep you from shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you won't be complaining. You won't be murmuring all the time and ruining your testimony, but you will, if you're not complaining, then you're a lamp that shines as a light to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I've noticed this. I don't know whether you have or not either, but some people who have every reason to complain, praise God. And other people who have every reason to praise God, they complain. Isn't that something? We forget how God has blessed us. But when we don't murmur and we praise God, that'll bring glory to God. I've often thought this, maybe you've had this experience too, but have you ever gone to the hospital to visit someone and you went with the intention of cheering them up and instead they cheered you up? Have you had that experience? I have. It's amazing. Why? They're not complaining because of the situation they're in. They're praising God, and that'll bless you. And you'll go away from the hospital and say, wow, I learned the lesson today. But recognize this, that when you complain, your problem is your attitude. And we need to have a right attitude, one that's praising to the Lord. A bad attitude will corrode your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, number four. Complaining can call down the judgment of God. Now, turn again to the book of Numbers, and this time to chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. And here we have the story of a man named Korah. And we know that Korah led people into murmuring against God. Korah is mentioned in the book of Jude in the New Testament. Jude's just a little short book, one chapter. And yet that Korah is mentioned in that book. And Jude talks about the gainsaying of Korah in Jude 11. Gainsaying means that he was stirring up strife by what he said. And so in number 16 here, notice what God's judgment was on Korah and those who followed him. It says, but if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked who? The Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Moses warned them, you know, if because of your murmuring, this can happen. And it did. Immediately it happened. We preached about hell this morning. These people went to hell without dying. Think about that. Now, we look forward to the rapture, and we can go to heaven without dying if we're still on the earth when the rapture takes place. Boy, I keep praying for that. But they went to hell without dying. God just opened up the ground and dropped them straight into the pit, into hell. And, boy, you see that God judged them very quickly, didn't he? And, by the way, one time when I was preaching on that, a man told me that that judgment was in the Old Testament economy and did not apply to today. You know what he was doing? He was sowing discord. He was saying, it's okay to complain now. Now, you couldn't back in the Old Testament. It's okay now. You think God changes his mind? No. And, of course, the New Testament makes that plain. We saw that in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 14. But I reminded this man of another verse of Scripture in the New Testament, found in the book of James. If you'd turn there, after the book of Hebrews, the book of James. And James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Now, who's the judge? That's the Lord, isn't it? What does grudge mean? It means to complain. Means the same thing as murmur and complaining. Now here's a clear warning against those who complain. The judge is standing at the door. The reminder of this verse is that we have enough opposition from outside of the Christian faith. We don't need to be fighting each other. Amen. We need to be encouraging one another and not complaining. And that's very important. Grudge there in James 5, verse 9, is in the present tense, which indicates a continuing action. Now, think about it in terms of this. Sometimes we all complain, right? Let's be honest. Just shake your head up and down. Yeah, sometimes I complain. It's so easy to get in that habit of complaining. But here we're talking about a chronic grumbler. You ever know someone that's all they did, grumble and complain? Just grumble all the time, complain all the time about this thing, that thing, the other. And the warning is the judge, that's Jesus, is at the door. And you know where that door is? That's the door of your heart. And Jesus is standing outside the door where the complaining comes from. And someday he will judge us as Christians by what he finds in our heart. And so here's a good rebuke against this matter of complaining. Now, number five, complaining will create an unpleasant atmosphere. I want you to turn this time to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. Jesus is speaking here, And I want you to notice what happened in verse 12. And there was much what? Murmuring. Among the people concerning him referring to the Lord Jesus. For some said, he's a good man. But others said, nay, but he deceives the people. He deceiveth the people. I praise the Lord for some who realized his goodness, but there were others that said, no, he's just another false prophet. He's a deceiver. And then in that same chapter, look at verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. In other words, to arrest him. Again, we go back to a previous point. Complaining is contagious. Now we see complaining creates an unpleasant atmosphere. The people were complaining. The Pharisees heard them. We'll use this against Christ. We got the people on our side now. So we don't have to worry about them. And we'll just send the officers to arrest him. And so they did. And when the officers got there, they heard Jesus preaching and what he had to say. And so they went back to the Pharisees. And they did not bring Christ with him. And so in verse 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, that is, the chief priests and Pharisees said to the officers, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, verse 46, never man spake like this man. I like that, don't you? They heard Jesus. They said, boy, we've never heard something like this before. But you can see that for a while there, the complaining resulted in an unpleasant atmosphere. And complaining in the church will lead to an atmosphere in God's house that will hinder revival and what God wants to do. Which brings us to the next point, number 6. Complaining will cripple the excitement of serving God. Now turn to Luke, to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. verse 2. This is where the scribes and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now they were talking about Zacchaeus. And they said, he receives sinners. He goes and eats with sinners. They're complaining. They're murmuring. Look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. This is the chapter rather than the other one that he went to see Zacchaeus. But they complained because Jesus was associated with sinners. Can you Can you imagine that? In this same chapter, Luke chapter 19, notice how Jesus answers in verse 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, this day, and he's talking to Zacchaeus, but he's really answering the Pharisees. He said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. And then he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus go to Zacchaeus' house? Huh? He wanted to see him saved. Would it be wrong for us to go visit someone who's lost? No. We want to see him saved. But the Pharisees were making a big deal out of it. Oh, he goes to the house of sinners. They don't realize that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's where he wanted to go. To the house of sinners. To a man like Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, of course, was wonderfully saved. And in verse 8, he gives his goods to the poor. And he restored fourfold all that he had done dishonestly. A man, when this man got saved, he got saved, didn't he? And it's shown by his actions. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Let me make sure I'm at the right place. Luke chapter 5 and verse 32. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, when he says the righteous, he's talking about people who are self-righteous, people who really think they're great. The Pharisees were like that. Oh, we're religious. We do this and we do that. We do the other thing. And Jesus said, I didn't call them to repentance. I came to call sinners to repentance. And I've said this often. When we're witnessing to people, before you can ever get them saved, you've got to get them lost. And by that I mean, as long as someone is religiously self-righteous, he doesn't think he's lost. As long as he's trusting in his religion and doing his good works, he thinks he's saved. So we got to get him to realize that all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And salvation is not in his religious works. It's in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So I say sometimes you have to get them lost before you can get them saved. You've got to get them to see that they're lost. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. So they were criticizing Jesus, and Jesus is God. They were criticizing God to do what God wants to do. He wants to see people saved. Amen. And he wants to us to be a witness to those who are lost. And if we start complaining, it just cripples our excitement in serving the Lord and doing what the Lord wants us to do. This kind of complaining kills the desire of people to win the lost to Christ. Complaining destroys excitement. Complaining causes people to say, I quit. And do you realize how many men quit the ministry every year because of complaining? and they get discouraged, and they say, I quit. I'm not doing anything. Complaining a lot of times is people's excuse to try and cover up their unwillingness to do what God wants them to do. And that's wrong. It destroys excitement. We need to be excited about serving the Lord, don't we? We need to be thrilled about that. And the final thing I want you to see, complaining will cost you your joy. Turn back to Philippians again. Philippians chapter 4. Very familiar verse of 4. I've often said this is kind of a theme verse of the book of Philippians, because the book of Philippians is a book of joy and rejoicing. If you want your heart to be filled with joy and rejoicing, you read the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You think God wants us to rejoice? Did you know you can't rejoice when you're complaining? They don't go together. Complaining will rob you of your joy in the Christian life. If you don't believe me, just observe the lives of someone who's a chronic grumbler. And you won't see much joy in their life. You won't see much rejoicing. I believe that rejoicing is just as necessary to our spiritual health as oxygen is to our physical health. We need rejoicing. We need to learn to be thankful and to praise God. I saw a bumper sticker one time, and I really like this one. And by the way, there's a lot of bumper stickers out there that are terrible. You don't want to read them. But I like this one. It said, when you complain about the farmer, don't do it with your mouth full. I thought that's pretty good. When we complain about God's house and what God's doing, and we should have a heart full of joy, shouldn't we? And what do I do? What do I need to do to be happy? I think Paul summed it up in the book of Philippians in verse 19 of chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's promise to supply our needs. You think He's going to do that when we're grumbling and complaining all the time? Huh? No. We need to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. We need to have hearts full of joy. We need to not allow any complaining in our life that will cost us our joy. So in conclusion, I would ask a question. Christian, have you been complaining when you should be rejoicing? And I want you to know, when I preach about this tonight, I'm preaching to me. And if you listen, maybe you'll get something out of it too. It's so easy to complain. So easy to feel sorry for yourself. Instead of having a life that's filled with the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life. Remember what complaining is. And I'll say it in these points I make. Complaining is communication with the devil, and it is contagious. And complaining will corrode your testimony. It will call down the judgment of God. It will create an unpleasant atmosphere. It will cripple the excitement of serving God, and it will cost you your joy. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there's anyone as a Christian that you would say, God spoke to my heart. I won't point you out or embarrass you, but I just want to pray for you. You would say, you know, Pastor, sometimes I just complain too much. And my heart should be full of joy. God's done so much for me. And I know complaining, murmuring,